Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Welcome, everybody. Happy New Year. Fancy being in church on the 1st of January. We could make it the Jesus number one on number one. Would that be all right? That was really good. Hey, great excitement out of all of you. You know, every New Year's service, you tend to do something on New Year's resolutions or thinking about the future or having a vision, etc., etc. Well, I want to do something a little different this morning. To get us into that mood, let me read to you something that I listened to on Christmas Day or Christmas Eve. It was the Queen's Christmas message. And I'm a royalist. I need to admit that. I love the function of the Queen and I love the function of the things that happen. But again, I understand that they're just a family like normal. And there's lots of goods and bads in every family, except for mine. All bad. No. So let me read this message, and there's a purpose behind it. So it's on the screen as we go through it, but let me read it to you. There was a time when British Olympic medal winners became household names because there were so few of them. But the 67 medals at this year's Games in Rio and the 147 at the Paralympics meant that the Great Britain medalist reception at Buckingham Palace was a crowded and a happy event. Throughout the Commonwealth, there are equally joyful celebrations. Grenada, the Bahamas, Jamaica, New Zealand. What about Australia? Won more medals per head of population than any other countries. Many of this year's winners spoke of being inspired by athletes of previous generations. Inspiration fed their aspirations. And having discovered abilities they scarcely knew they had, these athletes are now inspiring others. A few months ago, this is the Queen again, I saw inspirations of a different kind when I opened the new Cambridge base of the East Anglican Air Ambulance, where Prince William works as a helicopter pilot. It was not hard to be moved by the dedication of the highly skilled doctors, paramedics and crew, who are called out on average 5 times a day. But to be inspirational, you don't have to save lives or win medals. I often draw strength from meeting ordinary people doing extraordinary things. Volunteers, carers, community organisers, good neighbours, unsung heroes whose quiet dedication makes them special. They are an inspiration to those who know them, and their lives frequently embody the truth expressed by Mother Teresa. She once said, "Not all of us can do great things, but we can do small things with great love." This has been an experience of two remarkable organisations, the Duke of Edinburgh Award and the Prince's Trust, which are 60 and 40 years old. These started as small initiatives, but have grown beyond any expectation and continue to transform young people's lives. To mark my 90th birthday, volunteers and supporters of the 600 charities of which I've become a patron came to lunch in the mall. Many of these organisations are modest in size but inspire me with the work they do. From giving friendship and support to our veterans, the elderly, the bereaved, to championing music and dance, providing animal welfare, protecting our fields and forests, their selfless devotion and generosity of spirit is an example to all of us. When people face a challenge, they sometimes talk about taking a deep breath to find courage or strength. In fact, the word inspire literally means to breathe in. But even with the inspiration of others, it is understandable that we think the world's problems are so big that we can do little to help. On our own, we cannot end wars or wipe out injustice, but the cumulative impact of thousands of small acts of goodness can be bigger than we can imagine. At Christmas, our attention is drawn to the birth of a baby some 2,000 years ago. It was the humblest of beginnings, and his parents, Joseph and Mary, did not think that they were important. Jesus Christ lived obscurity for most of his life, never travelled far. He was maligned and rejected by many, though he had done nothing wrong. And yet billions of people now follow his teaching and find in him the guiding light for their lives. Then the Queen said this, and this is what really touched me, because she could be PC, worried about how she was going to offend people. But she said, "I am one of them because Christ's example helps me see the value of doing small things with great love, whoever does them, whatever they themselves believe." This message of Christmas reminds us that the inspiration is a gift to be given as well as received, and that love begins small but always grows. And then she said, "I wish you a happy Christmas." I love the fact that she was prepared to proclaim her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, for me, that's an inspiration. As she talked about being an inspiration, how we can inspire others by being who we are and not being afraid of saying what we believe. Before we move on, let me now show you a different clip. And this is just a very short clip. It was produced by a church called Forest Hill Church in America. And I can't remember how many people had viewed it, but it was something in the millions, which is just fantastic that this little church was able to produce this. Can we, I think I'll push the button and we'll see if it works.
I'm alive! I'm alive!
Yeah?
Yeah. Oh, yeah! Hey, Christine! You're here too! Mm. I love you!
I know.
Dad, what's happening?
Honey, the power works! It's coming. It goes on and off! Whatever we want! We've got clean water!
Oh, that's great! Look at that!
I bet I know what this does!
Rain down the glorious water!
Ah, shoes. Oh, what do we got here, guys?
Food!
I love food. What? A toothpaste? Ooh, I have work? I need a vodka! Look, listen here.
Hey, the what?
Jack, be careful!
Oh, I have a car! Did you guys see this?
Yeah, you have a car!
Oh. A car!
And don't forget your coffee!
You're the best.
You know, it's so easy just to move on and not to remember what we have to be thankful for. This morning I want to talk and share just a little bit about being thankful. You know, it's easy to Google and to find out what are the key events or the key things that have happened in 2016. And I did that for fun. And it was amazing how many things came up as you look through the pictures that were taken, comments that were taken, news events that were taken, but they seem to all focus on negatives or disasters. Now, we had the Trump-Clinton thing, negative disaster, who knows, we'll wait and see. Brexit, there's a lot of war, a lot of scandals, a lot of racism and violence, particularly out of America, a lot about politics, a lot about sport, a lot about who's died throughout the year. There wasn't that much that I could find that you could look at and see that the world was championing as a positive or a blessing. You know, as I started to reflect on the positives and the blessings, the things that I would like to be thankful for over the year, and it's incredibly hard to think back to January 2016. You know, we might be able to think back to December or November if we're lucky, but our lives are so busy and so fast that we have trouble thinking back. And I tried, I really tried. I thought of Nick and Aaron and little Violet. That was a blessing to me, a real blessing. And as Nick shared that test me, that just again just highlighted something to me. Chris and I, we've been blessed this year to have Toby and Kit born. Got Brett and Emma here, and they've got Aurora and Alice, 5 months old. What an incredible joy for Jerry and Norma to have their grandchildren, their family from England, and their whole family together. What about all the baptisms? What about all the salvations that we've seen this year? The youth events, the kids' events. Think of the school. Think of Oxy Kids. Think of just the things that happen across our property. Think of the 15 to 20,000, I don't know, people that came onto our property to look at the Christmas lights. You know, as you start to think, as you start to allow your mind to wander, there's so many things that we can be thankful for. We don't need disasters. We don't need things in our lives that are going to drag us down. We've got so many things that God has used to bless us. And, you know, you might have gone through some things and thought, man, that was a pretty tough time. But God says in his word that he'll turn all things into good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. When I think of thankfulness, when I think of being grateful, there's always a couple of scriptures that come into my mind. The first one comes out of Luke 17, verse 11. And it actually is a story about Jesus and the 10 lepers. It says, as Jesus continued towards Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. And as he entered the village, 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance. They cried out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. He looked at them and said, go show yourself to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. One of them, just one, 10%. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, praise God. He fell on the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except for this foreigner? And Jesus said to the man, stand up and go, and your faith has made you whole. You know, when I read scriptures like that and look at numbers like that, you know, 1 out of 10 came back, 10%. I wonder whether that's a reflection of society right now. I wonder whether that's a reflection of us in this church right now. Whether we pray, we ask God, we sometimes don't even pray. God does things without us even knowing he's doing them. And yet we forget to come back and be thankful. The other scripture that stands out to me is again a scripture I often quote, Psalm 100. And it says, shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever. His faithfulness continues to each generation. If that keeps playing up, just tell me and I'll pick up the other mic, okay? Psalm 100 is entitled or subtitled The Psalm of Thanksgiving. It's an invitation to come together to acknowledge the great things that God has done. Not only does Psalm 100 call us to praise the Lord with thankfulness, but I think it also describes to us what thankfulness or thanksgiving looks like. What's the nature of it? Let me give you 5 key points or 5 little points very quickly that I think describe the spirit of thanksgiving. What thanksgiving looks like. It comes out of Psalm 100. First one I think is joy. First one says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. You know, today at the MCG, the Mecca of sport, there's going to be 80 to 90,000 people at a big bash game. They're going to be shouting, they're going to be yelling, they're going to be screaming. Yet how seldom do we raise our voice and shout for joy to our God? You know, again, that shows something about who we are and what we're like. This psalm tells us that thankfulness has an aspect of joy to it. God, I believe, wants us to get excited about who he is and what he does. And even in the midst of negative things, we can still shout and lift up God's name. Second point is gladness. Verse 2 says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. You know, there is a huge difference between gladness and sadness. Sometimes church, I think, feels more like a funeral than a resurrection. We celebrate a resurrected Lord. Today, in a few minutes, we're going to celebrate communion. You know, Christmas is about the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. But as I said at our carol service, I don't think you can separate the birth with the death. But then you can't separate the death without the resurrection. And so, in short, Christmas is all about the birth, the death, and the resurrection. We come to church to celebrate and to worship a resurrected Savior. It's a song long, long, long ago. In fact, if Pastor Oxy was leading communion today, he'd get Andy to sing it for us. It says, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just this time I need him, he's always near. He lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. We need to give thankfulness and praise with gladness for our God. Third point out of Psalm 100 is dependence. Verse 3 says, know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture. This verse shows us three roles of God. God is Lord. And we are to make him ruler. We are to make him boss. We are to make him master of our lives. Second part of this verse shows us he is creator. I love the fact that it says that in here. You know, if you create something, you are greater than what you created. And therefore, you have every right to be boss over that which you made. God is our creator. And then he's our shepherd. God guides us to a place of security, a place of plenty, a place of rest. But we must do what John 10 says, and we must hear his voice. I don't know where this saying came from, but I really do like it. It says, if we are created, he is the creator. If we are sheep, then he is the shepherd. If we enter his courts, then he is king. If we serve him, then he is our master. We are all dependent on God. Now, whether you're a Christian, whether you're a non-Christian, we believe in God, whether you don't, believe it or not, we're all dependent on him. Because he created the air that we breathe. My God knows every hair on my head. He knows every beat of my heart. And this morning I thank him for being my God. And I can honestly say, I have no problem admitting that I am dependent on him. The fourth one is thankfulness. It says to enter his gates with thanksgiving, to enter his courts with praise, to be thankful to him and to bless his name. Truth is that you can't give thanks unless you're thankful. Thankfulness has to flow from the heart, and out of the heart are the issues of life, as we know. And that's when I come back to that scripture and story about the 10 lepers and the only one came back. Remember the question that Jesus asked? Didn't he say, were there not 10 that were cleansed? One came back. We focus on the one that came back, but what about we focus now, right now, on the 9 that didn't come back? Where are they? Why didn't they come back? I would suggest they didn't come back because their hearts were not thankful. How often we move on. How often we quickly slide into the next thing as if we go tick, done, finished, without stopping and without giving thanks. Truth is, because we are dependent on him, there is nothing in this world that we shouldn't be thankful for. His mercies are new every morning, the Bible says. You wake up, you open the curtain, you think of that little clip, unwrapping the present and being thankful, I'm alive. Then his wife next to me in bed, family. And then the food, the light switch, the water that comes out of the tap. We're going to Uganda again this year on another work party, and I know what it's like to take things for granted when you go there and you don't have much. I think of Dave and Beryl back from New Guinea right now, and again I was chatting to Dave a minute ago and he said he's just having a little bit of difficulty adjusting, fitting back into something that we just take for granted. We need to be thankful. We need to give God praise for everything. Then the last point is gratitude. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. And again, I think there's three things that we can be grateful for. Come out of this verse. Number one, the Lord is good. The Bible says there is none that is good, no, not one. That's talking about us. But the Lord is good. And it says, the Lord's mercy is everlasting. You know, I know what sinfulness my life is like. I know the things I do that I shouldn't do. I know the things I confess. I know how often I'm disappointed in myself. But man, am I thankful that God's mercy is everlasting. Am I thankful that his mercies are new every morning? And then the Lord's truth endures forever. I love the Word of God. I love the fact that the Word of God will endure forever. I love the fact that the Word of God is Jesus, that he is the Word that came flesh, and that he endures forever. We don't know. We can't fathom what eternity looks like. We can't fathom what the world looks like. We have even trouble fathoming what our creation looks like out there. You know, when you start unlocking the galaxies and the stars and starting to think about what's beyond what we can see, that's hard to fathom. Truth is, the Lord endures forever. No matter what happens, we might not understand it. We might not know what it looks like, but he is God. In Romans 11:36, Paul is giving thanks and praise to God, and it says this in the Message translation. It says, everything comes from him, everything happens through him, everything ends up in him. Always glory, always praise. Yes, yes, yes. I don't know what your prayer was this morning when you got up. I don't know whether you even prayed when you got up this morning. I don't know what your devotion was this morning, if you had one. My prayer is that we have a heart of thankfulness this year. That we do it with joy and gladness, with thankfulness, with gratitude. And that we recognize that we are dependent on God for all things. What we're going to do right now is we're going to take communion together. I'd like us to take communion in a different way this morning. I'd like us to gather in small groups. You can gather in families, you can gather with friends, whatever you want, groups that you want. And I want us this morning to do two things as we take communion. Number one, be thankful for what the communion represents. To recognize that Jesus gave his life for us, that we might live, that we might have eternal life, that we might be restored into fellowship with him. For me, that I can boldly enter his presence. And then I'd also like you just to reflect in that small group that you're in about the things that you can be thankful for that have happened in 2016. Could be praising God for family. Could be just acknowledging your dependence on him. It could be that you've gone through a tough time and you've seen God come out the end and give you a victory. You could be still walking through that victory. Well, thank God that you are walking through that victory at the moment. Whatever the case may be. Let's gather together and let God know how much we're thankful for. Let me pray. Father, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your mercy that's new every morning. And Lord God, we don't want to be like the nine who didn't come back. But Father, we want to be the one that came back. The one that, Lord God, gave you praise, that bowed his knee to you. And Lord God, not only was that one cleansed, but the Lord God, your word says that he was healed as well. Father, I pray that as we thank you, that we would solidify not only in our hearts your goodness, but we would put, Lord God, a full stop on the things that you've done. That we'd move into this year, this brand new year, not only where your mercies are fresh and new, but Lord God, we'd move into this year with an expectancy of the great things that you're going to do. Father, I particularly pray for families. I pray that you would overshadow families. That Father, that you would minister into lives. Father, this morning as I was praying, as I was thinking about, Lord God, just a couple of things you put on my heart just to pray for people who need to see breakthrough in their own lives or in families. That, Father, there would be a transformation take place this year as we seek you first, as we put you as number one. That, Lord God, that you would not only touch us as individuals, but you would touch us as an organization. That across the Life Ministry Centre group, whether it be the school, whether it be Oxley Kids, whether it be through the stadium and all the people that are ministered to through there, or whether it be in church and all of the different facets of church life, that Lord God, we would see your name lifted high and that we would see a breakthrough. Lord, we are in an era of change at the moment. And Lord, an exciting change, a change where I know that you are preparing for the fresh wave of your Spirit to move. And Lord, we just give you thanks for that. We do this in Jesus' lovely name. Amen. Why don't you gather in some small groups now and let's just take a few minutes. We've got time. Let's just take a few minutes to just give God thanks and be grateful this morning. Amen. If you'd like to take your glasses back to the table, that would be great. And we're not going to close with singing or anything this morning. We're just going to close service now. Thank you for coming out on New Year's Day. Really appreciate it. We look forward to seeing you next Sunday morning. Let's just pray again. Father, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for your goodness and your blessing upon our lives. And Lord, I pray that today, as we continue in just enjoying family or whatever it might be, that we would again just remember back to this message, that we would be thankful, that we would be grateful, that we would show our dependence upon you, that we would show our gratitude, and that, Lord God, we would do it with incredible joy. Father, we give you thanks and praise now in Jesus' lovely name.